Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
He's an American icon who fought in World War II, gave you Martin and Lewis, Martha Ray, George Gobel, Tennessee Ernie Ford, Andy Williams, Fried Green Tomatoes, Spinal Tap, The Princess Bride, The Sure Thing, Stand By Me, The Declaration of Independence, People for the American Way, and a few TV shows.
Maybe you've heard of a couple of these.
All in the Family, Sanford and Son, Maude, Good Times, The Jeffersons, Hot L, Baltimore, One Day at a Time, Mary Harmon, The Dumplings, All's Fair, All the Glitters, Fernwood Tonight, America Tonight, Different Strokes, The Facts of Life, The Baxters, Archie Bunker's Place, Silver Spoons, Gloria, Square Pegs, a.k.a. Pablo, Who's the Boss, 227, Sunday Dinner, The Powers That Be, 704 Houser, Channel Umpteen and 3, One Day at a Time on Netflix.
All of the above with Norman Lear. It's all of the above with Norman Lear. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, you know that Norman Lear is just another version of you.
So, here we are, out of cigarettes, holding hands and yawning. Look how late it gets. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. Who was that? Who was
Hoagy Carmichael?
No.
But he wrote it.
No, he wrote it. But who was in the movie that sang it together?
Oh.
Aha.
It wasn't Best Years of Our Lives, was it?
No. It was Bob Hope, and her name was Shirley.
Was it Shirley Ross, Norman?
Shirley Ross.
What do I win?
Shirley Ross. I haven't found anybody. I've been singing it all my life. I haven't found anybody who remembers Shirley Ross, and I remember her so well on that balcony where they sang that song.
What movie was it?
It was a movie that starred Bob Hope and Shirley Ross.
I'm going to look for that one.
And I'm Norman Lear. You are Paul Hipp.
I am Paul Hipp.
Yeah. And you were Paul Hipp yesterday also.
Yeah. Last week. Tomorrow, hopefully.
Likely tomorrow as well. And so we're going to chat a little while because we have that little while. And do you want to know something? Speaking of little while, speaking of time.
Yes, please.
It took me every split second of my life to get to this moment where I just said this moment. Now, it took me another 3 seconds to get here where I just said here. It took me every split second of my life to get to this moment.
I love that.
So is this worthwhile?
Fantastic.
I mean,
there's nowhere I'd rather be.
Well, because it took you every split second of your life to get here. Anyway. But this is it's not hard talking without a great cigar, is it?
No, it's just there's nothing to do with your hands, but you know.
I wonder if I pretend I've got a cigar in my hand and I'm lighting and a lighter in the other hand. I am now raising, as you can see, as you folks, I'm so sorry, cannot see, but I'm raising my hand as if I had a cigar and I am pressing a lighter.
And I'm clipping my imaginary cigar.
And if there was no other reason to believe in God, it would be Havana Leaf.
And I feel the flow is happening now that we have our imaginary cigars.
Yes. God, I love this.
It's all going on.
Yeah. Do we sound gay?
We sound like we might be bi-curious.
Bi-curious.
Yeah.
I am bi-curious. I am very bi-curious about today's guests.
I'm very bi-curious about today's guests.
You have to be more than I because you don't know them. I've known them for a great many years. And they're sitting across from us now, and you can see them, but you don't know them.
No. We met in the elevator, but only briefly.
Really?
So it was just a tantalizing little...
So you touched hands and so
yes.
forth. So you know she's black?
Yes, I do know that. Yes.
And
she told me.
And did you guess that he... Well, you know he's white.
He told me that. I asked.
Did you guess he might be Jewish?
I did not guess that. I didn't consider it. But his hat says true, so I'm going to believe everything you say is true.
You know, I sat opposite him at lunch today, and all I saw from my angle was the T-R-U. I didn't see the... And I thought my friend, I hadn't seen him in a little while, had voted for somebody whose name started with a T-R-U. I got sick.
Yeah.
No.
Well, people change.
But he didn't. His hat reads true. And
which is the opposite of Trump.
We're going to take a little pause, and then I'm going to see to it that you meet them very formally.
Fantastic.
All of the Above with Norman Lear.
Brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Here's the way you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with a single click and find the best candidates for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Norman.
Hey, everyone. It's Caitlin Bristow. You can listen to my show, Off the Vine, with Caitlin Bristow every Tuesday on Podcast One. Hear me take on taboo topics and unfiltered advice. I'll also be dishing with some amazing celebrities. Oh, and did I mention there'll be wine? So grab a glass and join me every Tuesday on PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
This is All of the Above with Norman Lear.
So, I said you're going to meet them very formally. So may I introduce, God, I have a question with the introduction, Giovanni Brewer. I'm looking at Giovanni Brewer and wondering how this beautiful black woman inherited the name to start with, Giovanni.
Well, interesting, I was born in Panama, and my mother in Panama was a fan of a soap opera, and one of the characters' name was Giovanni. So she named me, the name is actually Giovanni Maritza Cantoral, but then I married an African-American man, not this white guy here, previously, and his last name was Brewer. So Giovanni Brewer it is.
Giovanni Brewer. I love the name Giovanni Brewer, and especially hanging on that face.
It so kind, name. Norman. Yeah. Thank you.
Now, there's the Jew sitting next to you. How did this come about? I mean, you could have married another guy who went through the agony of being black in America.
That was an interesting encounter, I think. Well, let me just put it this way. We're both television producers, and at the time, Jeffrey, the guy over there, was working on a show with a comedian called Diego Hughley, and he needed a black producer to help him produce the show with this young ex-gangbanger comedian emerging. And so he called an agent who had never met me and recommended me to him. And so I went to his office and started to interview. He's reading the resume, and we're getting along when. And then he gets to a place in the resume. He says, what happened here? It was a big pause. I go, I had a kid. Is there a problem with having a kid? And, you know, there's a space in the resume. And so we became fast friends then. And, you know, the love affair developed much later after everybody divorced. But, well, we're here now.
What was the show? Can you mention the show?
It was called, what was it called? Dale Hughley.
The Dale Hughley Show. Well, he's now a correspondent for...
It was called The Dale Hughley Show, where the hood meets Hollywood.
Mm. And you're the hood or Hollywood? Who are you?
I would be the Hollywood.
You'd be the Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Well, we worked together. And we worked together some years ago when I had met Maya Angelou and fell in love with her. And wanted to do a late-night talk show of a spiritual nature, but a talk show that included music and everything that a normal talk show would do, except that our conversation would not be about the guest star's film or book, or it would be how the guest star is getting through their days. It would be a spiritual talk show. Maya fell in love with the idea, and... Tell them how long we worked on this, Giovanni.
So we worked on it, you know, almost 2 years, you know, since we were introduced to Miss Angelou. Norman took us to her house. We had lunch with her. The bottles of wine came out. We danced to her basement. It was just an amazing love affair.
Wow.
As we developed this project. And,
With
Paramount. You know, at the time, I was working for Don Cornelius. I was his number two, doing Soul Train, very involved with him. And I had to break his heart and said, I'm quitting, and I'm going with Norman, Maya Angelou, and Paramount. he wasn't happy. But, you know, everyone has to take a risk in their career, and this was mine, and I enjoyed that journey. And there are other chapters which we'll get
Jeff,
to the show.
Jeff, how long did we work on this?
More than 2 years.
The first year, if I recall correctly, we were talking about doing a 5 nights a week show.
Mm-hmm.
And then because we couldn't get to a place where Maya was ready to do it, we said, we'll do it Friday nights. We'll do it 1 night a week. And so we went into another year preparing for a 1 night show. Is that, am I correct?
You're right. We had George Duke was going to be the musical director.
Wow, that's quite a team.
Oh, yeah.
He canceled a trip to Japan with his orchestra in order to be ready for this.
Wow.
All of us sort of like did the thing. We're going to jump in the deep side of the pool because this show was quite a groundbreaking special show.
Yeah.
So we had him and Paramount and, you know, I think Norman, I forgot who the PR lady was.
That Pat
you had.
Kingsley.
You had Pat Kingsley was going to be the
Pat
booker.
Kingsley, yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And you didn't say hooker, did you?
No. But you pick up.
May her soul rest in peace. I loved her.
Yeah. So we had, wow, so we lost Don, we lost George, we lost Pat, we lost Maya. Yeesh.
Yeah.
Quite a project.
Maya, but not before she met Lynn, who was pregnant at the time, my wife. And she is the godmother to our twins, who are now 21 years old.
Now, what did you do what? Did you do a show?
No,
did you ever end up shooting anything?
The last time it was discussed was we had a house above Sunset Boulevard for Maya to live in, and she had to roll down the hill to get to the studio. And maybe 10 days, 12 days beforehand, I'm on the phone with her, and she says, I can't do it.
Oh.
I can't do it. We had George Duke and the orchestra already booked the house she was living in, or she was going to live in.
The staff.
Yeah.
Hair, makeup, the whole thing.
Oh, PR. That's a shame.
Superstars booked as guests.
Now it's, and so powerful and glorious was this woman that we forgave her within 4 minutes.
Well, I'm sure that would be the case. Why? Was she just not feeling it? Was she nervous about...
I think she didn't say she was nervous, but she was nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, and also I think that... And I think she said this at some point, that she's always been a solo act, and this doing TV is a huge collaboration with a lot of layers of people behind you.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. Yeah. I'd forgotten that.
All of the Above with Norman Lear.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, listeners to All of the Above can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Norman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Norman. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Norman.
Have you heard about the new Podcast One app? There is no other podcast app like this. Download the all-new Podcast One app now in the App Store or on Google Play now. You can find out everything about your favorite shows and get more content, All of the Above. Find articles, social media episodes, even make playlists. It's easy to comment and connect with other show fans, too. We have our own little community on there. You can share your favorite content and see behind-the-scenes photos. Plus, get a 360 view or watch a bunch of shows in virtual reality. There's over 1,000 videos on there right now. It's like you're in the studio. The new Podcast One app looks so cool and has so many things you can do, including fun things like rewards for listening. So what are you waiting for? Download the new Podcast One app in the App Store or on Google Play now.
Now back to All of the Above with Norman Lear.
So what we have left from all of that is this friendship, which I cherish.
That's fantastic.
And I don't give a shit who knows it.
Likewise, I feel the same. What about you?
Yeah.
Well,
now, talking about you two, it's not easy being black in America. But you have had we've talked in the, you know, over a meal about how you handled it. Can I ask you about that? Because I'd love to have people hear, a lot of people hear, how, what you made of it, how you handled it, what you think of it now.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, I'm an immigrant from Panama. Mm-hmm. My first language was Spanish. Spanish, you hear a little accent. And so I came here as a 13-year-old, or I did not speak a word of English. I went to high school in Queens and, you know, developed friendships along the way. And, you know, as you grow and try to assimilate into a community, you acquire, you know, all of the shadings of that. And, you know, for me, it was, you know, being an African-American. I mean, I have the look until I decided to speak Spanish at some point, and people say, oh, you're different. So I understood that there was, you know, some level of always misunderstanding from people. But as I got older, and I was sharing this with Norman, I made a decision, you know, you will not be offended because of somebody else's ignorance. So I decided to be a little bit more, and it's hard, you know, compassionate, you know, and merciful, as it were, even though I have been, you know, exposed to levels of racism and ignorance, and I just feel bad for the person that they themselves are being victimized by this attitude that is not me that's causing them to do this, but it's something in themselves that they themselves at times don't even know that they are, you know, afflicted by it. I'm going to use the word afflicted with caution because sometimes you don't even know that this is an attitude that's so much part of your social DNA that's causing you to, for no reason, treat another person with the less than attitude. So Jeffrey and I, obviously, you know, an interracial couple. We have traveled all over the world. And he always gets a little bit upset when somebody treats
him. Speaking of traveling, got to interrupt you to make sure that you get to this.
Okay.
So the scene, ladies and gentlemen, is they are flying someplace in the world, perhaps in this country, and they are flying American Airlines. And because they do well in this culture, they are flying first class. So they have first class tickets, and they climb, and they come down the that corridor leads to the plane. Mm-hmm. They get on the plane. There's a stewardess and a captain or whatever, a couple of stewardesses there. And what happens?
So, invariably, you know, I'm turning to the left, and they go, oh, no, madam, your seat's to the right.
To the left, for those that don't know, is first class.
Correct.
Yeah.
And she's just automatically, because she sees her skin color, is
that would be the affliction you were referring to,
yes.
I think, kicking in.
But handling it in the right way, you know, when they see that I'm, you know, I am first class, and then they come and apologize. But I know it's going to cost them a bottle of champagne, so I work it. And but, you know, it seems trivial, but for someone else, it could be a challenge. And this happens repeatedly, you know. And so he and I always say, okay, I'm going to bet you this is not going to happen. But it happened on Alitalia, Delta, you name it, wow. Air France, you know, British Airways. It just happens.
JetBlue's going to be sorry you didn't mention their name.
Where did that wisdom come from that you decided early on, you said, right, to go with the...
I think, you know, it has to be a spiritual development. You have to, I have to default to that place of being conscious of having a relationship with God, you know, however you experience that. I recognize that it is the currency of mercy, compassion, and love that never loses its value. And so I decided that I am not going to be offended, because then you're always going to be in a bad place, always going to be mad. The classic angry black woman syndrome, as it were, because somebody says something about your nose, your hips, whatever it is, you know, your hair. You know, so I sort of I decided that you're not going to take my power. I will retain it by the way that I respond, not react.
How about you, Jeff? How have you felt in that, you know, at these moments?
As you know, Norman, we've been together more than 20 years, and it's funny.
Not you and I, you and
I know. Yeah. I'm saying Giovanni and I have been together, and it's just so part of my relationship who we are. I don't even see it as black and white anymore. In fact, it's more of a difference that it's a woman and a man as opposed to black and white. So when that happens, when we encounter somebody, I'm surprised.
You're still surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially now, decades later.
So when you are passing a window and you accidentally or unexpectedly, or there's your image, you see yourself with Giovanni, are you ever aware it's a black guy with a white, I mean, a white guy with a black woman? It's
no.
You
and, I'm surprised still. Yeah, so. It's like I don't see the colors anymore.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It did very little in the beginning, but really don't now. And so it always surprises me that, oh, an interracial couple.
So I've got to tell you something about my generation. I can't shake it. I know that Giovanni is a black guy. I adore her. But I wish I didn't think about her skin color. And I am remembering, as I say this, a time when my oldest, who is 70, was perhaps 12. And she was raving about this art teacher that she had. And one evening, we went to school because it was parents' evening or something. And I met the art teacher for the very first time, and she was a black woman. And I was stunned. How did Ellen never tell me she was black? And then I thought, she never thought about that way. It's me. I'm thinking about it.
Do you think that informed the shows that you did and the way you handled race and with your work?
Well, obviously, everything I've lived through has informed the shows. Everything we all live through informed the shows. So,
yeah.
I guess so. But this has been, you know, I think of it often and wonder if I'd been born 40 years later, would that be the same? But then I see, or we're talking about what happened on America, could happen tomorrow on American Airlines.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting conversation to have. You rarely hear somebody say what you just said, that I see it, I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting idea to talk about
I have
that.
No, and I have no problem with it, except that I have a problem with the fact that
it exists.
It.
Yeah.
Right. So to get to the place where people can talk, if you have that openly, it's a big step societally, don't you think?
I so admire the way you talk about it. When you bring God into it, I shiver a little. Not because I don't believe yet, but I do. But I've seen the culture, humanity, get into more trouble talking about God. And we need the real conversation that shakes us up for trouble.
And I was deliberate in bringing that in because I already know that it is kind of like it's going to be disruptive. But I have to take the risk to be authentic to myself and unapologetic about that relationship. And, you know, because I'm conscious of it, just like I'm conscious of my breath, you know, is how I experience it. So I can't pretend just to be politically correct that it's not something that I, that's really how I trace my life and how I live it and how I filter it so that I could use the filter of mercy and compassion and love.
Mm-hmm. So that allows you to marry a Jew.
That allows me to marry a Jew. I'm like, okay, I mean, I've done, and I love, I mean, I've done aliyahs in temples, I've done, you know, I do the candles, I do the whole thing. I mean, I love it.
With compassion and mercy.
Yes.
Good orderly direction.
And good orderly direction.
God.
Do you happen to have a Jew and Christian song or something?
I have a song that mentions Jews and Christians and Muslims.
Jews and Christians and Muslims?
I get everybody.
Lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
Paul Hepp, remembering Jews, Muslims, and Christians.
I'm a happy bomb maker am I. A happy bomb maker trading cash from the sky. I'm a Jew, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim for a price. I'm a happy bomb maker am I. Well, I'll ship to Jews who want to kill Israelis.
Wait a minute, I gotta remember the words. We can cut this, right?
Well, I'll ship to Muslims. I'll ship to Muslims. Here we go. Yes, I have a song. It mentions Jews, Catholics, Muslims, Christians, and Muslims. I'll ship to Muslims who want to kill Israelis. And I'll ship to Jews to destroy Lebanese. I ship to Iraq. Hell, I ship to Saddam. Any race, creed, or religion, I'll sell you a bomb. I'm a happy bomb maker am I. A happy bomb maker, it's raining cash from the sky. I'm a Jew, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim for a price. I'm a happy bomb maker am I.
That's my song. Mentions everybody.
When did you write that?
I wrote that actually during the Bush years when they were going into Iraq. And I was thinking about the other night with the State of the Union as we're building up our he's talking about building up the military again, as if we need more money. And I just thought, well, it's a good time to be a bomb maker again. You know, and that song came back to me. But it says, if you're looking to blame someone, don't look at me. I'm just filling orders like any company. I feel bad for them folks that I see on TV. But we're working on name and on accuracy. I'm a happy bomb maker.
I love it. I love it. Great, Paul.
He can pick up that guitar anytime to sing something about anything.
Love that.
That one was, I was a little rusty with that one. I got to prepare for next week for anything.
No, you don't have to prepare.
I see a rapper.
Preparation. If I had to prepare, I might not be talking about a lot of things that I like just this. Jeff. How
Sir.
Jewish are you?
That's a hard question, Norman. It's funny, though, when we look at the differences between us, we always say, okay, I'm white, she's black, I'm a man, she's a woman, and I always go, I'm Old Testament, you're New Testament.
But we're in the same book.
But we're in the same book together and the same history.
But have I seen the Old and New Testaments in the same covers?
Yeah, is this the Holy Bible?
Yeah.
The Christian Bible.
Yeah, that's what we had at Catholic school.
Yeah.
So I thought it just has the New Testament.
No, so the Holy Bible has the Old Testament, which is, you know, the Holy Scriptures, and then the New Testament is all the Gospels.
And it's all in one book.
It's all in one book.
Shows you what I know about the Bible, and I've been to 1,000 hotels.
They've taken them out now.
Were you raised with God in your life? Were you raised in religion?
It's funny. I was raised in Panama, which is Catholic, right? And then when I came to the country at age 13, I was conscious that I wanted to, like, a real relationship, not just religion. So I decided to travel to India, and I lived in an ashram for 9 months.
Wow.
Chanting and meditating and fasting and, you know, like, oh. And so the whole thing was like, you know, God lives inside of you. And so it was, you know, the figures went away, as it were. It was more about the energy, the consciousness. So I did that for X amount of decades.
The figures meaning the guy in the robe with the beard and
all of that.
And the scowl.
It was, you know, in deep meditation, obviously you're aware of your consciousness. Mm. And so, however, at some point, you know, I'm a mother of two young, lovely men. And so when they became teenagers, and I was a single mom at the time raising them, the chanting and the meditation wasn't doing it. So
How old are they now?
So now they're in their 30s.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Lovely, lovely men.
Hi, Jeff.
How's your relationship with them, Jeff?
Great. Really great. It started from the beginning that I wasn't their dad, but I was mom's boyfriend originally, and now ultimately we're married, but really great. And their dad's still here. We're all very, very good friends.
It is a great blended family where, you know, my ex-husband and Jeff and all of us, we have meals and holidays together, and everybody wonders, how does that work? But it works by choice.
It works with your ex-husband, too.
Correct.
That's great.
That's really great.
That's great. The closest I come to anything like that is 6 kids and 3 marriages, and all the kids are crazy about each other, want to be together, but they're all white.
It's okay. It's a great victory.
The greater miracle is the interracial.
This is odd because the ex-husband is now with a white lady. And I go, oh, my God, what happened?
So when we go out to dinner, they always think.
They assume.
Yes. Just me thinking that she's back with her ex and I'm with his girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Because it's what you would think, Norman.
Yeah. God, it's going to take a long time to get past that, isn't it?
I think so.
What is happening now in television for you? Are you working on some things?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we're working early developments of a very exciting project we were sharing with Norman today.
As a matter of fact, that's what the reason I happen to think about bringing them here and doing the podcast with them, because they had called and said, let's have lunch and wanted to talk about this project.
Great.
And the project is great.
The project is called A Grand Ole Opry Tribute to Ray Charles. For those of listeners who are familiar,
wow.
Ray Charles had a CD called The Modern Sounds of Country and Western Music.
Incredible record.
Incredible record that really
surprised everybody. Like, wait, what? Ray is doing... I love this.
Paul, you're a musician.
Huh? I love it. Go ahead. Sorry, I won't interrupt.
Anyway, so, that was a catalytic piece of work that caused country music to go from, the backwoods to the pop charts.
Yeah.
And so his foundation wants his music to be celebrated, to be recognized that, as an influential part of the history of country music. So the Grand Ole Opry decided that they would do one of their live shows as a tribute to Ray Charles, and so that's what we're working on now.
Do you need a guitar player?
There will probably be a need for a guitar player.
I know there's not enough of them in Nashville, right?
Yeah. He knows several guitar players.
I can give you some numbers.
But that's glorious. I didn't know that piece of history, Ray Charles was responsible for the widening, the broadening of country music.
Yeah, I grew up in a house in Philadelphia. My dad loved country music, and he discovered it on the radio when he was a kid, Lefty Frizzell, all this old stuff. But anyway, so I grew up, my dad would listen to this stuff, and the Ray Charles records would blast. He would put this Ray Charles. And then I heard other Ray Charles, his earlier stuff. I was like, wow, this is the same guy. And then reading about it, it must have been incredible. I was young when it happened.
Well, the beauty about Ray Charles is something that we love and, Norman could appreciate, is that he was able to cross the musical genres.
Oh, yeah.
And therefore crossing the race lines and crossing and really breaking down. And the fact that he was blind, there was a time that he was performing in Paris and he says, I don't have any problems, except somebody told me I was black. It's like he's in a space of creative genius and was able to just navigate every genre with such grace.
Yeah.
That's why America the Beautiful and Georgia on My Mind, they've become, part of the fabric of America.
And his phrasing, the phrasing that he brought to country music, which was so perfect for country, but no one could have ever thought of it. Because Ray's phrasing, just like he did in every other R&B and everything else, but his phrasing in country is, it's like a pedal steel. The way that pedal steel is so unique to country music, and it could just tear your heart out because it's that unique sound. Ray was as unique as that.
Willie Nelson and Loretta Lynn have both said that this CD really was the most important piece of country music in the history of country music.
Wow.
And before he died, he said, I've gotten all the awards. I really would have been nice if I had been inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame.
He wasn't?
It never happened. And so hopefully with this show,
change it.
We Previous could change that and it could be a posthumous induction because it's clearly overdue.
Yeah, as it should be. I love that. That's great. That's one of the great moments in music history.
I love learning that today. I love learning that today. And I love your being here. What else about you guys should we know?
Jeff?
How the hell did we keep up this friendship? We didn't do the Mayan shows all those years ago, and yet we stayed in touch every few years.
Well, one thing, Norman, we were both working for other people when you brought us together to work on Maya Angelou.
Uh-huh.
And when we were about to go back, we both had other studio jobs with the big studios. Norman told us, you're crazy to go back to your jobs. If you guys don't quit, you work together so well. If you don't quit and start your own company right now, you're crazy. And Giovanni and I looked at each other. If you're not going to listen to Norman Lear in this business, who are you going to listen to?
Right.
And we both quit our jobs within shortly thereafter.
You hear that, ladies and gentlemen, in this podcast. If you're not going to listen to Norman Lear, who on earth are you going to listen to?
That's right.
Amen. And we started our company based on what Norman told us to do. And the name of our company is right. Black and White TV.
So forget your mother, forget the president, forget your dad, forget your neighbor. Listen to me.
It's all Norman Lear.
That's the way it is at home. It's all Norman Lear all the time.
And everybody listens.
Anyway, this is great. So why don't you close with that song I love so much? And you don't need the guitar. The words are so great. We walk around from room to room.
You bump into me. I bump into you. I sing a song, you dance a dance, we lay down romance. We drive the car down to the store, we buy some food, we need some more. We go to sleep, we dream the dream, and then I ask, what does it mean?
What does it mean,
this life, this night and day? You say, go out and find a job, we got bills to pay, and life is good.
And life is good.
And space and time.
And space and time.
Give me some of yours.
I'll give you some of mine.
Give you some of mine.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
That was
cute.
Thanks for being here.
Well done, folks. Well done.
How much time was that? It just felt right.
You went about 30 minutes with the interview.
So. Is that all? I thought it was longer.
No, you went about 30 minutes with the interview. Is there anything else, anything we missed? Anything we skipped over that you want to jump on?
Yeah,
anything. The song again, so you can pop it in.
Yeah, let's pick it up from that point again. Which one?
The first one, because I did it in fragments. Were you happy with the song, or do you want me to redo it?
If it came out okay there, yes.
No, I think I could tighten it up.
All right, just go ahead and pop it.
The bomb song?
Yeah. You rolling? Yes, actually, I have a song that mentions Christians, Muslims, and Jews. And I was reminded of it the other night during the State of the Union when they were talking about we need to spend more money on the military. It's called Happy Bomb Maker. I'll ship to Muslims who want to kill Israelis. And I'll ship to Jews to destroy Lebanese. I ship to Iraq, hell, I ship to Saddam. Any race, creed, or religion, I'll sell you a bomb. I'm a happy bomb maker am I. A happy bomb maker, it's raining cash from the sky. I'm a Jew, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim for a price. I'm a happy bomb maker am I.
Price, I love it.
If you're looking to blame someone, well, don't look at me. Hey, I'm just filling orders. Like any company, I feel bad for them folks that I see on TV. But we're working on aim and on accuracy. I'm a happy bomb maker am I.
There's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. Using TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. In fact, there are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through our TrueCar certified dealer network. There are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. You'll see what other people paid for the car you want so you can know what a fair price is and feel confident. With TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the new or used car you want. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
If you out there may be lunatic enough to want to talk about this or let people know about this podcast, or but because you never know what you crazies out there. But should you wish to do it, we are, who are we again?
At the Norman Lear.
We are at the Norman Lear.
And I am at Paul Hipp.
And he is at Paul
Hipp.
That's
H-I-P-P with two P's.
It's with two P's. You don't get away with one.
I'll give you some of mine.